Hoi, leuk dat je luistert naar een speciale bonusaflevering van Dingedong, de Nederlandse podcast over het Eurovisie Songfestival. Normaal ook met Marco Dreyer, maar vandaag alleen met mij, G.J. Kooijman. Een nationale finale voor het Eurovisie Songfestival, daar moeten wij al 12 jaar niet aan denken in Nederland. Maar van 1956 tot 2012 hadden wij wel deze traditie. Er groeit dus nu een hele generatie Songfestivalfans op zonder nationale finale in Nederland. Maar wat missen wij als publiek en artiesten aan een nationale finale? Met deze vraag zit ik al eventjes. In andere landen duurt deze traditie namelijk wel voort en is het soms populairder dan Eurovision zelf. Daarom reisde ik af naar Zweden om eens dieper in melodiefestivalen te duiken. Want sinds 1959 kiest Zweden via een nationale finale hun inzending. En tegenwoordig zorgt dat voor 6 weken vertier en in het finale weekend voor 3 keer uitverkocht stadion, vol gezinnen en songfestivalfans.
Vernub, Sjörvi!
Die festivalen duurt tegenwoordig 6 weken en trekt gemiddeld 3,2 miljoen kijkers. Ter vergelijking, 2,75 miljoen Zweden keken vorig jaar naar de Songfestivalfinale en zagen hun Loreen de overwinning voor Zweden binnenslepen. Sinds 1999 mag ook het publiek meestemmen en dit zorgde ervoor dat Melfest, of Mello in de volksmond genoemd, echt door de hele Zweedse samenleving wordt omarmd. Melfest zorgde in 65 jaar tijd voor 7 songfestivalwinnaars en 26 keer een plek in de top 5 voor Zweden. Dus hoewel deze nationale finale niet betekent dat de Zweedse inzending elk jaar een succes is, staat het onder veel songfestivalfans wel al jaren bekend als het model hoe je een nationale finale moet organiseren. En zorgt het ervoor dat artiesten die meedoen aan Mello al jaren onder de Eurovisiefans bekend zijn. Want hoe belangrijk is een nationale finale voor een land en de artiesten? En waarom zou je meedoen, zelfs als je niet wint? Dat vroeg ik me dus af en sprak daarom onder andere met Karin Gunnarsson, de wedstrijd/muziekleider van Melodiefestivalen, en de deelnemende artiesten van dit jaar. In deze podcast hoor je niet alleen hoe zij Melodiefestivalen beleven, maar ook wat ze zouden zeggen tegen Nederlandse artiesten die een nationale finale misschien niet zien zitten. In die finale in Stockholm ontmoette ik 12 artiesten die stonden te popelen om Loreen op te gaan volgen. Waaronder de vrouw die meeschreef vorig jaar aan de winnende inzending Tattoo. Hoe omschrijft Kasi Opea zelf het gevoel van Melfest in Zweden?
It's super important. It's like the music brings us together, and it's like the funniest thing happening in a year, you know? Everyone is waiting for it and it's like a big party.
Maar waarom doe je mee aan de nationale finale als artiest? Dat vroeg ik aan Dotter. Zij deed dit jaar voor de 4e keer mee aan de competitie en werd 2e in 2020. Daarmee werd ze onder internationale en nationale fans favoriet om ooit nog een keer Zweden te gaan vertegenwoordigen op het Eurovisie Songfestival.
I think it's a very, very good platform to be seen. I mean, it's very hard sometimes to reach out with your music in Sweden because it's a very small music scene. So I think it's great. It's fantastic. I'm super thankful that I was invited to participate here for like 4 times now. So.
Oké, deze 6 weken op televisie is dus niet alleen een wedstrijd voor een plekje in het Songfestival, maar ook een groot platform om je muziek aan de Zweden te kunnen laten horen. En hoe belangrijk dat is, dat vertelt Karin Gunnarsson. Zij is competition producer voor Melodiefestivalen en bepaalt onder andere welke liedjes er meedoen en hoe de wedstrijd gespeeld wordt.
Oh, it's really important. Melodiefestivalen is absolutely a big player in the Swedish music industry. Last Saturday, all the 30 songs were released in radio, and also you could listen to them on Spotify. And 23 out of the 30 songs went top 50. 97 songwriters has been a part of Mello this year. We had a lot of management, the record labels. It is a big deal.
Kortom, bijna zeker een garantie op een hit als je meedoet aan Melodiefestivalen. Dat zorgt ervoor dat veel artiesten vaak terugkomen op dit evenement. Een van die artiesten is Danny Saucedo. Hij is al sinds 2006 bekend in Zweden door zijn deelname aan Idols daar. En hij deed al 5 keer mee aan Melodiefestivalen. In 2012 verloor hij glansrijk van Loreen, waardoor zij met Euphoria daarna het Songfestival won. Maar onze Danny wordt tegenwoordig gerekend als Mello Royalty. Iemand die verbonden is aan Melodiefestivalen. Hoe vindt hij dat zelf?
It went so fast. When I look back in the rearview mirror, I see that I've I've done a lot of stuff, and I've been part of this Melody Festival for such a long time, but I've never considered myself as like a royalty. Yeah. I can't even say it because it feels wrong, but...
Spannend dus, maar ook voor nieuwkomers blijft het spannend, want haal je na een van die voorrondes de finale wel. En dan sta je in één keer voor 30.000 mensen in Stockholm als je dat lukt. Een van die nieuwkomers dit jaar is Jacqueline. Zij werd tweede in Idols in 2021. Zie je een trend hier? En dit is haar debuut in Melfest, maar ze werd gelijk gezien als een van de favorieten door de fans. Hoe voelt dat eigenlijk?
It feels so good. I mean, I can only be grateful. You know.
Is that what you had hoped for when you first heard the song and you were like, oh, I hope this is how my first Melfest goes?
I'm always like taking it one step at a time. So I'm like, okay, this song and then what's going to be the choreography. And I'm not really like thinking about how it's going to, I don't know. I'm trying to take it one step at a time. Yeah.
How does it feel now that you're here? You've done it before an audience for the first time in that finale. How does that feel?
Such a great feeling. When I stepped off stage, I was shaking. I was like, ooh.
Je hoeft trouwens niet mee te doen aan een talentenjeugd of al bij een platenlabel te zitten voor Melodiefestivalen. Karin is altijd op zoek naar nieuwe artiesten en muziekstijlen om mee te laten doen aan de grootste muziekwedstrijd van Zweden. En die ziet dat ook als een taak van een publieke omroep, zoals SVT, de Zweedse omroep, is.
Yes, absolutely. And my ambition is also to also have a lot of new artists in the competition. 16 out of the 30 made their Melody Festival and debut this year. And you also do not have to be signed to a major label or anything like that. This is also public service, and the Swedish audience wants to hear all kinds of different music, both in Swedish and in English, but also the genres supposed to be like, you don't have to like everything you hear and see in Melodifestivalen, but my goal is that you find something, one or two.
Hoewel je misschien denkt vanuit de vooroordelen dat er alleen perfecte Zweedse popliedjes meedoen naar Melodiefestivalen, zitten er meer genres tussen de 30 liedjes. Van het hysterische Epa-dunk, wat een soort mix is tussen dance met schunnige teksten en wat gitaren, mooie ballades, liedjes die je doen denken aan een WK-themalied met Latin-invloeden en rammende rock. Voor rockband Smash Into Pieces is het ook heel belangrijk dat ze ook dit platform krijgen naast de popmuzikanten die meedoen.
Do you feel proud that you're bringing rock and your style of music to young kids who then get to discover it?
Of course, man. It's like, you know, I saw like a newspaper thing like Smash Into Pieces is taking the younger generation to love rock, something like that. And that was like, wow, you know, it's like, it's weird. It's also weird when kids are picking themselves like Six Feet Under, for example, to sing it at the school... How do you say, like, skolavslutning? What's the word? Yeah, school ending, and it's pretty huge.
Maar hoe kom je tot het perfecte liedje voor Melodiefestivalen? Voor sommigen is het liedje er al en is het een kans om dat een groter platform te geven en je carrière een extra boost te geven. Bij anderen werkt het andersom. Je wil weer meedoen aan Mello en gaat dan op zoek naar de perfecte kanshebber om te winnen. Zo ook bij Danny Saucedo.
How did this song come to you? Was this a song you wrote specifically wanting to go back to Mello? Was it something you were like, oh no, I have this amazing song, maybe it's for Mello? Because it's different.
It was 100% for Mello. I was trying to contact old friends and producers that I've worked with, and Michelle, who wrote the song mostly, he had like the chords and the melody and mostly lyrics done. So when I entered the studio, I was like, oh my god, I think this is the one. And we took it to where it is today. And I could totally, because for me it's very important to be able to feel what I'm singing. If it's just a song, it's just a song, and I don't think people gonna feel the message.
Bij Dotter was het andersom. Zij schreef eerst het liedje en kwam daarna pas op het idee om mee te gaan doen aan deze editie. En dat terwijl ze net bevallen was van een kindje.
I actually sat down by the piano in October when I still was pregnant, And the first thing that came out of my mouth was like, it's not easy to write a love song. And then I continued writing, and then I showed Dino my idea, and then we went into the studio and wrote the whole thing and finished it together. And my idea is that it's like a very naked song. You tell about how a love life really is. Like, you can have bad days, and even if you love someone so much, you can't really tell that person that I love you. So it's a metaphor that it's not easy to write a love song. Yeah.
Is it scary to perform such a personal and open and, as you say, naked song for a big arena like this? You're opening up your soul, basically.
But I think that's what I love with performing and music, that you really, really feel the lyrics. It's like 100% me.
En voor anderen, zoals Cassiopeia, is het belangrijk om naast een goed liedje ook een boodschap te brengen in het liedje. Dat zien we dit jaar vaker op het Songfestival en daar vroeg ik haar ook naar.
And I'm happy that that shows, you know. I'm enjoying this so much more this year than 22, because I was super nervous. I didn't really, you know, I couldn't be in the moment, but I can this time. So I think maybe that's what shows, that I'm more secure and in what I'm doing, and also like bringing an important message. It's not just a love song and a happy number. I'm trying to say something really important, and I hope people will get that and feel that, you know.
And I think what's really interesting is that we're seeing a trend this year at Eurovision of a lot of songs who are trying to do the same thing, where we get happy melodies, happy things, but there is a underlying deeper message in there. Why do you think that's a trend that's happening in music, and especially at Eurovision now?
It's because how the world looks, honestly. The world is upside down, and it's so unfair, and so many people are living a hellish life, and some people are living a great life, and that's just sick how that can be such a difference, you know, because we're all human beings and we're all worth the same much, you know, or worth as much, you know, and we have a heart and we have a soul, and we should think more about that rather than having money and, you know, success or whatever. It's just like we need to stick together now more than ever. And I think that's a reason why people feel sad and want to sing about it.
But then I think normally you would think that would be then projected in a sad song. We're seeing that mixed up with happy messages as well. So I think that's been very interesting to see that disconnect of genres now finally clicking.
I love the contrast in that. And I want to make people happy. So I don't want to stand there singing a sad song, because, you know, I want people to be like, oh, uplifted when they hear my song, but I still want to be honest. So maybe that's what the other artists that does this kind of sound also feel, you know?
Maar met alleen een goed liedje kom je er niet. Je moet ook een optreden neerzetten waarmee je indruk maakt, want de Zweedse omroep SVT trekt alles uit de kast om de optredens er direct al goed uit te laten zien, alsof het op het Songfestival hoort. Niet alleen de omroep trouwens, want alle artiesten krijgen een basisbudget voor dit optreden, maar als je een grote platenmaatschappij achter je hebt staan, dan kun je helemaal uitpakken. Voor de 19-jarige Maria Soer is dit dé kans om zich te ontwikkelen als artieste. Ze vluchtte in 2022 met haar moeder na de invasie weg uit Oekraïne en kwam in Zweden terecht. Na een optreden op een benefietgala kreeg ze een platencontract aangeboden en nu staat ze al voor de tweede keer in de Mello-finale. Een kans die ze aangrijpt om haar plek als artiest te vinden en haar visie op het podium te creëren.
I'm really trying to get there, you know. I really want to be the person who's involved in everything, and I'm trying to be involved in everything, and it feels, I mean, for me it's important. I love to, not to control things, but I love to be in the process of all of that, and it's been so fun to create this performance and this song. Like, it was really fun, the choreography, this the clothes, like the song, like everything. Like, I was really enjoying the process of that. And I think it's wonderful when you enjoy it. I think we found finally like my style, my song. And I mean, when we just were creating the song, I don't know, it just, you know, I had kind of a vision in my head what I want to do. So probably because of that, you know, it feels kind of natural. And there's amazing, my amazing songwriters who wrote this song. I mean, they're amazing. They just felt me. They just felt the vibe and the whole. So it feels so good. I feel really natural with this song. I feel like this year, like I'm a really, like as an artist.
Dan heb je je liedje, je performance, maar dan ben je er nog niet. Want net zoals bij het echte Songfestival is het flink repeteren geblazen. Elke voorronde en de finale bestaat uit repetities op woensdag. Donderdag camera repetities met de pers erbij. Vrijdag lopen ze de uitzending door en vrijdagavond de generale repetitie. In het finale weekend is vrijdagavond ook de show waar de internationale jury's mogen stemmen. Ik sprak uiteindelijke winnaars Marcus en Martinez net na die juryshow. Hoe voelt dit om voor 30.000 man te staan en die jurypunten binnen te harken?
Marcus and Martinez, can you describe the feeling of after 2 days of rehearsing, finally doing it with a crowd tonight?
Oh, crazy. I would just say that these moments right here is what we're waiting for all the time. These are the moments we've been practicing for, so it's just an unbelievable feeling every time we go up there. Feeling. Yes, sir.
Very well done. And I'm wondering, if you win tomorrow night, how are you guys celebrating?
Well, we're going to meet Joost Klein, so we're going to be happy. No.
You're going to be very happy. No, but how will you celebrate tomorrow?
Yeah, well,
is family here?
How yes, family and friends are here, so we're, of course, going to celebrate with them. But, you know, we're so nervous and happy at the same time with today. So we're just so excited to do tomorrow as well. Today was the international jury. None from the Netherlands. That was disappointing.
Yeah. Hey, but Belgium's in there, so maybe there'll be some points. Yeah. Guys, you get to be so proud. This performance is so well done, but I don't think that it loses any authenticity and joy. It's not too slick.
Okay, good, because I want it not to look like AI, if you know what I mean.
No,
we it's important to, because we have fun inside, but sometimes you don't always show it outside because you're so serious and focused, but I feel like we get it out there,
All right, guys, it's the end of the night. You guys have to go get sleep. You have to do it twice again tomorrow.
And I have to go to the toilet so bad.
Run.
Yeah. I will after this interview.
Okay, good. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you. Nice to see you again.
See you soon.
En daarna geef je je over aan het publiek. Want die bepalen via het stemmen via de speciale Melfest-app, waarin je zelfs gekeken kan worden per doelgroep, per leeftijdsgroep, wie er wat stemt. En natuurlijk gewoon nog de traditionele telefoonlijnen, wie er voor Zweden naar het Songfestival gaat. Iets wat wij niet kennen, want in Nederland bepaalt tegenwoordig een selectiecommissie ons liedje. En dat doen ze geheel intern. Hoe belangrijk vindt Karin Gunnarsson als producer van Melodiefestivalen het dat het Zweedse publiek mag meebepalen en zaten voor haar nog verrassingen in het stemgedrag dit jaar?
I feel it's important that a country is a part of choosing the song and the artist who represents them. I think also that gives a receipt if the song is that strong among so many people. Then, I mean, it says something about how it will go later on in Eurovision. So it is so important that the people of Sweden are invested in Melodifestivalen to build memories also. Oh, I voted for this, and maybe somebody's disappointed or someone's really happy. My favorite song made it. My favorite song didn't do it. Blah, blah, blah.
Have there, without saying, because we are still in the competition, you can't say anything about it in terms of details, but have the Swedish public surprised you this year with results maybe positive, or maybe that certain things weren't getting positive, or maybe certain age groups voting for something you didn't think of? Have there been those surprises for you this year?
I think maybe Scarlett was a surprise. I didn't predict that. I mean, I've been working with music for so long, over 20 years. I've been in the radio industry for so long, worked at record labels, and so I have a certain feeling for what the audience like. But so Scarlett was very happy with that outcome, because that was something we haven't seen or heard in Mello like forever, and they really made a strong impression on kids and adults. So I'm happy with that. And also Lia Larsson, who has this great energy and is also being active in a genre that is like mainly for maybe younger, but I mean she went in top 2 Spotify.
Insane.
So,
Ook levert een nationale finale veel aandacht op internationaal. Er reizen gigantisch veel internationale fans af naar Melodiefestivalen. En het kan ervoor zorgen dat je in één keer een kickstart krijgt voor een mogelijke Europese carrière. Dus al win je niet, het is je visitekaartje voor live optredens die je kan gaan doen over het hele continent. Nou, Maria Soer en Smash and the Pieces, die zijn daar zeker mee bezig.
Oh my God, I don't know if I still realize
that. You believe that?
No.
That people in the Netherlands are rooting for you to win because they're such big fans of you.
Oh my God, no way, really?
Yeah.
My God. I mean, you know, it means so much to me. It means if people love the song and love the whole performance, it means that I'm on the right way. And I'm super grateful. I'm super, super grateful that, you know, it's given me just, you know, inspiration to work more.
Yeah, and of course, the short dream would be to go to Malmö for Eurovision. But what are the bigger dreams? Just to end the interview with, what are your bigger dreams? What is next for Maria?
I mean, my biggest dream, it's been always the only dream, it's to be a worldwide star, worldwide artist, okay. This is my goal, this is my dream, and I'm gonna work my ass for that.
Well, it's like a smash show on steroids.
We actually get to do like a music video, but live, you know, everything.
Yeah. It must feel good as an artist that you're not being restricted in any way. It feels really like they're giving you the freedom to be authentically you. You don't have to fit into a format.
It's the same with the songs. Yeah. I mean, it's just...
That's why we're here, I think. I mean, that's why we said yes to this.
And, of course, you have done it before. What made you come back? Was it that freedom? Was it that energy?
Yeah, we were allowed to do our thing, what we are doing otherwise, out in the tour. So for us, it was like, okay, as he said, a smash show on steroids.
Yeah, if we could do it again, we wanted to maximize, you know, even invite you further into the smash world, you know.
En ook voor makers van Melfest, zoals Karin, is het iets heel speciaals dat heel Europa kijkt naar een nationale finale zoals die van hen. En iets van de Zweedse muziekindustrie en gebruiken meekrijgt, zoals ik ook al in 2016 voor het eerst meemaakte.
I mean, that's amazing. We keep talking about like this Swedish music wonder, ABBA, Avicii, whatever. That we still can create that interest. It's amazing. I'm really, really proud. And I think it's fantastic that music brings people together like this, and that Mello is the the thing that brings them here to discover Swedish music and artists.
And Swedish television, of course, because we know the in-jokes, we know everything that happens in the show, we don't understand everything in Swedish, but we bring the balloons and everything. So yeah, I think you've really created something that still stands the test of time.
You're part of the insanity, the beautiful insanity.
Yeah, I remember going for the first time in 2016 and having to explain to my friends why everyone is with balloons and that your warm-up producer, the guy with the long hair and the glasses, he's a superstar here as well. So I think he gets to be really proud.
It's amazing. People dress up. It's a night out with friends or family to create, once again, like to create memories. That's great.
Over die Zweedse tradities gesproken, Melodiefestivalen is meer dan alleen een liedjeswedstrijd. Er zitten gebruiken aan vast, zoals het zwaaien met ballonnen, wat soms als toeschouwer best vervelend kan zijn. Bijvoorbeeld als je, zoals ik, dit jaar een overactief klein Zweeds lief kindje voor je hebt staan en dus de helft van een optreden niet ziet omdat je de hele tijd een ballon voor je smoel hebt. Maar het is ook een platform voor Zweeds presentatietalent om de grootste televisieshow van het jaar te presenteren. Dit jaar was die eer aan Carina Berg. Ze is presentatrice en comedienne en ze mocht nu voor het eerst Mello in goede banen gaan leiden. Ik sprak haar direct naar de finale over hoe dat was.
This experience, now that you've done it.
Right now, very overwhelming actually. I feel like I've been in some sort of washing machine, like just been spat out right now. So I'm a bit dizzy and full of adrenaline, but this has been so much fun. I've enjoyed every minute.
Was it what you expected when you started this season, when you thought, I'm going to do this, those 6 weeks around the country?
It was actually much, much bigger than I could have expected. I knew it was big. It's Sweden's biggest television, so I knew it was going to be big, but this is huge. I had to use my entire brain to make this work.
And you did, and you shined.
Thank you.
I am wondering, we in the Netherlands, we don't have a national final. And sometimes our listeners don't completely understand how important Melodiefestivalen is to Sweden. How would you describe that?
I actually heard that you had some kind of like 4 pages in a newspaper where you're from, that a big report with the title "The Swedish Madness."
Yes,
I heard of that, and you're totally right. It's madness, but I mean, it's a dark, small country. It rains a lot. It snows a lot. We love the glitter.
But how is it for you to then host the thing that Sweden is talking about for 6 weeks? Does that scare you, or was that a challenge you're happy to do?
I mean, both a little, I guess. But I didn't read a word. I didn't read like on any blog or any newspaper. The Dutch news that I heard of was from one of my colleagues. She sat and translated it. She got it from her relatives that lives there. So that's the only actually report I've ever heard. So I just kept it a bit far from distance.
Carina was trouwens niet de enige host dit jaar. Ze kreeg bijstand van een wel heel speciaal iemand. Want Mello kan je carrière maken. En iemand die daar alles van weet is Bjorn Gustafsson. In 2008 trad hij tijdens Melodiefestival op met een speciaal comedisch liedje om Carina het hof te maken. Want haar nu ex-echtgenoot was dat jaar de presentator van Melodiefestival. Snap je het nog? Nou, met dat optreden brak hij definitief door, want comedy heeft ook altijd een grote plek binnen binnen Melodiefestivalen. En hij is al 15 jaar een van Zweden's meest populaire komieken. Dit jaar maakten de makers en Björn gebruik van de kans om dat verhaallijntje eens een keer af te maken. Niet probeerde Björn haar in te palmen met een boyband vol mellow-legendes zoals Erik Sade, Victor Lexell en Manselmele als zogenaamde 13e deelnemer in de finale.
Melodie nummer 13. Still the one. Bjornsson! Tell me how do you love someone when they never want it forever after everything I've done. It still didn't lead me to you. I don't know what to do now. You are the part of me I just can't live without.
Ook revancheerde hij zich door het liedje uit 2008 nogmaals te zingen in de hoop Carina alweer voor zich te winnen. Ondanks een nieuwe echtgenoot. Denk dat hij dat niet had meegekregen. Dat mislukte helaas, want voor 3,5 miljoen kijkers thuis en een volle Friends Arena liet de presentatrice toch weten dat het niet meer dan vriendschap ging worden. Ik kon niet laten om me daar nog even naar te vragen bij Carina hoe dat was.
Is of course tonight we saw a storyline get finished as well. You got to sing, you got to friendzone.
Yes, I tried to friendzone him.
How was that?
I don't know if he ever gave up. I thought of the closure that Ross and Rachel had when she was drunk and she called him and said, "That, my friend, is what you call a closure." But I'm not sure that message actually landed. Out.
Carina, congrats on a job. Amazing. Well done. And I can speak for a lot of us if I can say, hopefully in the future, why don't you host Eurovision?
I would love that.
Maar dan terug naar waar het om draait. Een inzending zoeken voor Zweden in het jaar dat Zweden het Songfestival mag gaan hosten in Malmö dankzij Loreen. Dus aan het einde van de avond krijgen we, zoals je gewend bent, eerst de jury stemmen, dan de publiek stemmen. En dat werd net zo spannend in de zaal als bij het echte Songfestival.
Vi där hemma har valt en trea. Unforgettable med Marcus och Martinus.
Uiteindelijk komen er 26 miljoen stemmen binnen en winnen Marcus en Martinus overtuigend Melodiefestival in 2024. Straks hoor je mijn interview met deze Noorse tweeling, maar er rest me toch nog één vraag. Want dat een nationale finale veel voordelen kan hebben, daar ben ik nu wel van overtuigd. Of het zou werken in Nederland, dat weet ik nog steeds niet, want je zult denk ik wel een paar jaar nodig hebben voordat het weer een traditie is in ons landje en ook nog wel even nodig hebt voordat je elk jaar het allerbeste liedje laat kiezen door het publiek. Maar iets wat volgens veel bronnen ook een nationale finale in Nederland zou tegenhouden, is het feit dat grote Nederlandse artiesten niet tegen elkaar zouden willen strijden op televisie. Want misschien zijn ze wel bang om als gevestigde artiest weer tegen je collega's te moeten strijden. Want een week later sta je weer met elkaar op een groot festival. Of wat als het Nederlands publiek je het minst aantal punten geeft. Daarom vroeg ik Cassie Opea wat zij zou zeggen tegen Nederlandse artiesten die dat denken.
You should never be afraid to try, you know. And challenge yourself. And even if you come last, you still had a freaking amazing gig in front of like so many people. So try to see it like more in a positive way rather than I don't want to lose. Like just to enjoy the memory you're creating together.
Maar ook Karin Gunnarsson, die artiesten vaak spreekt en motiveert om mee te doen aan de nationale finale zoals Melodiefestivalen, heeft een boodschap voor Nederlandse artiesten die er zo over denken.
Well, I mean, since Melodiefestivalen is such a strong tradition, that is an argument to be a part of. I think some artists are afraid to compete in music. They say, oh, I don't want to be in this competition. And I mean, every day is a competition in music, how it works nowadays, every day. But I understand that it can be nerve-wracking to put yourself out there like it is to be a part of Mello. But I keep saying that you cannot find a bigger stage, you cannot find more professional people to work with. If you do have a vision or a dream about something creative with your song, this is where you should do it, because Mello, we have that competence in our team to do a creatively put on a great show. But I totally understand that people might be afraid, because Melodifestivalen is big, it's huge, which is fantastic, but it's also a blessing and a curse.
It can be, yeah.
Kortom, er valt veel te halen voor artiesten en fans bij een nationale finale. Maar of we die ooit terug gaan zien in Nederland, dat is nog maar de vraag. Wie het in ieder geval geen windeieren heeft gelegd, Marcus en Martinez. De Noorse tweeling die vorig jaar net de strijd met Loreen verloren, lukte het dit jaar wel. Met het gelikte Unforgettable knalden ze van het scherm af en haalden ze overtuigend de stemmen van de Zweedse kijker binnen. Ik sprak ze twee keer in de Melodiefestival een week. Volgende week hoor je in de podcast het interview wat ik ze had. Volgende week hoor je in de podcast het interview wat ik met ze had na afloop van de overwinning. Maar nu neem ik je graag mee in de chaos die ontstaat als je erachter komt dat twee jongens van 22 jaar oud uit Noorwegen die voor Zweden naar het Songfestival gaan, heel erg fan zijn van de Nederlandse inzending van Joost Klein voor 2024. Geloof me, het ontspoort, maar het is een ontzettend tof interview om ook dieper te duiken in de Zweedse inzending van dit jaar. Bedankt alvast voor het luisteren naar deze speciale aflevering van Dingedong, de Nederlandse podcast over het Eurovisie Songfestival met Marco Dreyer en Geje Kooijman. Geniet van het interview en we zijn er volgende week weer. Tot dan, doei!
So, 3 days before the Melfest finale and I'm now joined by Marcus and Martinez.
Yes.
How are you guys feeling?
I'm good. I feel, so far, I'm not that stressed. I'm not super nervous, but I know when we're going to get closer and I'm going to get more nervous.
Yeah, what has it been like this week? Because you guys did the last round last week, Saturday, and now you're already in that finale.
Yeah, we were in the last heat, and you know, it's still very fresh because it just happened like a few days ago, actually. So we're still very happy, but we're trying to process that we're actually in the final, and it's actually just a few days left until the final as well.
Yeah.
So that's going to be so much fun.
Yeah, and of course, we in the Netherlands, because I'm from the Netherlands, and oh hey, you're learning Dutch already. See, that's good.
Joost Klein song.
I heard that you guys are big Joost Klein fans.
Yeah, where have you heard that?
Someone may have told me.
Yeah, well, it's correct, and I love the music style, and also him, because he's like such a fun guy. But you know, in the start when I heard Ro Papa, I was like, oh, I expected more, but when I listen to the song more and more, I actually really love it. It's my favorite song right now.
So much on me.
Yeah. it's a very good song, and the last drop is so cool. Like it's gonna shake the whole Malmö stadium. But I heard it's like very typical Holland, that type of.
It's very Dutch music. It's called Gabber. We call it happy hardcore.
Yeah, happy hardcore.
Yeah, see, the Dutch is very, the G is a very Dutch word, but it's very happy hardcore. But what do you like so much about the song? Because for us, we've known that style of music for so long, but it's blowing up all over Europe.
I know it is, and I have a lot of friends that listen to that type of music as well, especially when they're working out. You mean that type of style when it like drop doop doop? It's different, you know. I haven't listened too much to that type of music, but I'm a guy that likes to listen to a lot of different type of music, and you know, that hits me like, oh, this is new. I like this. And that he has taken it with him in the song, I think is very correct. Also that he does it in his own language, or your guys' language, is amazing. I love that. So it's going to be fun to see it. I think he's the favorite. I know not on the odds list that he's on top, but he should be, because I think he's the favorite right now.
Yeah, and of course, you just said something about the drop, of course, at the end. It's a very emotional story that Joost is trying to tell. How... did you feel that when you first listened to the song? Because, of course, everything is in Dutch, so it's not in your natural language. But you do feel it's coming across?
No, because first I've heard what he's telling about, but I didn't understand it at all. And it didn't seem as a sad song either. So I just thought it was like just a fun song that he made in the studio and had a lot of fun. Nice. So, yeah, I didn't know that.
See? So it's already traveled to Sweden. I love that.
It does like this.
It's a wild song. We've been, we're very proud of Joost. But of course,
the best part. Malmö is going to go crazy.
I know, it's going to be madness.
I'm
going
to be...
we're going to dance from home or in Malmö.
Yeah. If we are going through, I'm going to dance
in the green room.
It's so crazy to that song. I've been listening to this song, like, not a joke, like 5 to 10 times a day since it came out.
Nice. So a lot of those streams, from those millions of streams he's gotten over the last week, have come from you guys.
Yeah, it is actually. So big fan, Joost Klein.
But then it's also the other way around. You guys have garnered so many streams over the years, and now you're back at Melfest. Can you give us a little bit of the history of how did it start this year? Did it start with a song? Did it start with wanting to come back to Melfest? And how did it then grow to where we are now, today?
We saw Joost Klein was going to represent the Netherlands. We were like, goddamn, it's time. We got to do it again.
Got to do it again.
Yeah, so no. But, you know, it... We were in Melo for the first time last year with Air, and it was very difficult when Loren was there, of course, but it was such an amazing experience, and we didn't know that we would get this support, you know, from the Swedish people, as we're Norwegians, for the people watching. So it was just such an amazing experience, a dream, and we just, you know, we really wanted to do it again. It was Martinez that said, like, okay, right after when we lost, he was like, we got to do it again next year. With a better song, with the song that's... Because we were on, like, this square on the stage, so we didn't, like, use the whole stage, but we've been on the stage since we were 10 years old, so we have, like, this stage performing in us. So we want to show that on stage, and I feel like we do that. We start off very small, but build out. We're going to use the whole stage. We have dancers, so I'm very, very happy with the staging.
How involved are you guys with the staging? It sounds like you are very involved, which doesn't always happen to young artists of your age, that they can be involved in every aspect, styling, music, the choreo, everything. Well, how's that been like?
When we talked about the show, we just said one word, and we said, we said, think big, Super Bowl. Yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah, and, you know, as Marcus said, we love to be on the stage, been there since we were very young. We have very, like... good personality on the stage, and we love to be there, and yeah, love the light, and of course the clothes is very cool. We talked about Michael Jackson, and we love the K-pop music clothes because they use a lot of cool clothes, so it's kind of like a mix between them. So MJ meets K-pop vibe. So yeah.
How long did it take for this performance to all come together? You have the song, then you start rehearsing. How long was that process for you guys? And was it hard, or was it, did it all the ingredients come together easy?
I think a mix, you know, it was very easy for us what we wanted to do, but at the same time, it's a lot of work to get through with the staging, how we wanted it to be. With the walls and stuff was also something I saw from another performance, not similar, I would say, not like a straight copy, of course, but so I'm very happy with that. But also, you know, with the dancing and stuff, that's not us. We didn't do it. We just learned it. But it's very cool. But all the with the song and everything, we just really want to do this again. So we've been practicing a lot and had a lot of time in the studio. And we have three amazing people with us on the song, producer or top liner. So we love it. Shout out to Linnea, Joy, Deb, and also Jimmy.
He's on everybody's song. It's cheating. Jimmy, why are you on everybody's song? Yeah.
But the songs are always, they do feel different. Your songs doesn't feel like any of the other songs that are in Mello this year. It does remind me a lot in a very good compliment way. It has a little bit of the Weeknd vibes. Yeah. There's a lot of vibes in there from, you know, more of the EDM sounds that we're used to these days.
We've heard Swedish House Mafia as well.
Definitely. Yeah. Saw them live last year. Yeah. That really reminds me of that. Mm. Now, when you two are guys, you guys spend a lot of time together.
Wait, that sounded cocky that I said like, it sounded like a Swedish House Mafia.
No, but if someone else said it.
Yeah, someone else said it. Yeah.
How does that make you feel? Because they are one of the biggest.
Honored, of course. It's same when you say The Weeknd. You know, we are in, you know, a place where we're trying to change a bit. We're growing up. We want to go to the next chapter in our life. So we want, you know, to make our music sound more grown up. And when people say Swedish House Mafia or The Weeknd, as you said, you know, it helps us. Helps us a lot to understand that I feel like we've done the right, you know, going the right directions.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, of course, you guys spend a lot of time together rehearsing, doing these interviews. Which of you two is more of the motivator when you both are tired? Like, which of you, or are you motivating each other?
Because I think it's me, because you're stressing a lot. And I'm going to say this brutally honest. You are very like a perfectionist. You say remember this, remember that, remember, and it's very important. But I think I'm the one that said, okay, have fun, do this. We can do this. We can.
Okay.
I can't remember last time you said that. No, but I just feel like you're the one that gets fast tired and stuff like that. And then I'm like, okay, we just
fast tired than you.
Yeah. And then I'm like, okay, we have to get through this, and then we have time off or stuff like that. So I feel like it's me, but you can have your own opinion. That's okay.
So what do you guys do in your time off? What do you do? Are you like...
We play PlayStation.
Did you bring a PlayStation here?
Yes, we have like a suitcase PlayStation. So when we travel...
Oh, I know those, yeah.
Yeah, so we just open and play.
What do you guys play?
EAFC. We play that.
And a little bit of Call of Duty with our friends.
Nice. So do you guys plan it? He goes like, hey guys, are you guys still at home playing?
Yeah, sometimes we do it, yeah.
Nice, that must be so much fun. Yes. You need time to relax between everything that's happening here. How do you guys stay focused, because there's interviews, there's press, there's fans, there's all these rehearsals? How do you guys stay focused on that performance?
Well, we try, but it's not always that we are focused, and we get tired because we're normal, like the others. And we just try to tell each other like, you were kind of off this interview or stage performance, come on, focus, and just remind each other. Yeah.
And of course, we in the Netherlands, we don't have a national final. You guys...
No, you just go straight to Eurovision.
It's a selection committee. It's not very clear on what happens there. But of course, in Norway, there is a national final. Here's a national final. Do you think it's an important platform for artists to also be discovered, even if they don't go to Eurovision?
Yeah, of course, totally. And I think it's a good thing for many artists. In our heat, we had Chelsea Mucho, which I think isn't that, you know... big here in Sweden, so well known. So I think it was a good, you know, chance for her to show herself and her music. And I loved every single bit of it, you know, her Afro music, Afro beats. So yeah, it's so cool to see artists, you know, get the fame they deserve. And you really have a chance for that at Melody Festival.
Yeah, of course, now the dream is Malmö. Let's go to Malmö with this song. But then afterwards, what are the other dreams? A European tour, new album?
We are actually going on a European tour in...
We should go and find it somewhere.
Where is it?
Where did it go? It's a silver ring. This is going to be fun. Now we have to light.
Yeah, light up.
Light up, and
baby,
then.
Maybe you light up my world like nobody. Look under your chair.
Yes, there it is.
See, we found it. That's very
yeah,
good.
Sorry, no.
But so, a European tour is coming?
Yes, in right after the summer, we've planned already a European tour. And we haven't done it since before Corona, so it's so good to be back. And you said album. We're actually going to release an album in April. So
ooh,
that's not long until it's... We're in March now, so, you know.
And then a bit of a selfish question. I'm also a DJ.
Ooh,
so are we going to get any remixes of this song?
We're actually going to get a DJ on one of our songs. So... And maybe I think it's a very big chance that Unforgettable are going to get remixed of an artist or a DJ. Would you think it's a cool song to remix?
Definitely. I think definitely if you can look at all the big EDM DJs, I would love a Martin Garrix remix. I would love an Afrojack remix.
I would love to. Or like this Netherlands Styles.
Maybe you should talk to Martin Garrix.
Next time I see him, I definitely will. But guys, before I go...
This drop. We need this drop on Unforgettable Remix.
I love it. Now guys, before I go, I also brought you some...
Strutwaffels. I remember them. I don't think you know, but we love these. No joke. We actually do.
I figured you could use some of the energy, some of the sugar over the next couple of
weeks. And it's so funny because I remember the name as well. I was like, this is perfect. I'm going to eat... Oh, you're already eating them. It's like with caramel in the middle or something.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to eat them tonight as my snacks after the interviews and the mingle.
Mingle?
I'm not the typical... I'm not a typical mingle, guys. I'm going to just say hi to everyone and go up and eat my soup waffles.
That's going to be so much fun. Guys, if you guys go to Eurovision, then, of course, you have to do all the pre-parties as well. You're going to go all around Europe. Are there any places you are very much looking forward to visit again?
Well, we don't want to be like, of course you're going to say that. But, of course, the Netherlands. We haven't been in Amsterdam since 2017 or something. So it's been a long time. I remember last time we were in Amsterdam because we actually took like a private jet home to Norway because because we were so young, so we were still in school, so we had to get to this exam or how you say it, exam.
Yeah.
So we just got to it. So that was lucky.
How does it feel that because it's very awesome that because you guys have so much talent, you have this career that you built from Norway to Sweden to all over Europe, that you get to say things like, we went to the Netherlands for a show and you got to do an exam the next day, so you had to take a private jet. How does that feel? You, if you look back at it already, that is your life now.
Well, it's pretty crazy, especially since we've lived a life like this since we were 10 years old. It's been a long ride, but a fun one. And we come from a very small town in Norway. It lives like 900, almost 1,000 people there. So it's very fun how different our lives are, you know, the contrast between them. So
it's like living like Hannah Montana. Yeah, like
it's for
like
real.
Hannah Montana.
Do you know her?
I definitely do.
Yeah. It's very fun to just come back and then see like the people and they say, yeah, what did you do? No, we just went to Amsterdam in a private jet. Like it's a funny story to tell.
And I think it's great for young people all around Europe to see that it is possible. If you start at that young age and then this is your career you go.
But also that it's never too late, you know, to start with music. We started very early, but you could go through like in your prime when you're like 22 or 26, 40, 30. Like it's never too late. Remember that.
Well, guys, I have to say, you guys have a busy schedule ahead of you. I think your song is really going to do really well all around Europe, whether it goes to Eurovision or not.
Dankjewel.
It's good. Oh, see, guys, this Dutch is coming along really well. So if you come to the Dutch pre-party, we'll definitely teach you some more Dutch.
Thank you.
Marcus and Martinez, have so much fun this week. I'm really excited to finally see you guys with this performance live. Well, let's go make that happen. Let's go make that happen, definitely. Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Love that. And thank you for these.
You're welcome. I'm